Hey, I'm recording this pretty late. Normally, I don't do promotional stuff, plugs or this or that, but I like these guys, I think other people have been asked to tweet this, but I basically don't use my main Twitter account, so I'm putting it here, So there you go. That's my lead up. Have fun. LaGuardia crash underscores pressures on already strained air traffic control workforce. Yeah, apparently when this crash happened, LaGuardia Airport had one air traffic controller active. One, just one. One air traffic controller at all of LaGuardia Airport. One single air traffic controller. Literally one guy. Just before an Air Canada jet collided with an airport fire truck, air traffic controllers at LaGuardia Airport, air traffic controller, were juggling a developing late-night emergency on the runway. UA flight had twice aborted takeoff and reported an odor coming from the back of the plane, but with no gate immediately. LaGuardia. With no gate immediately available, the pilot and controllers went back and forth over the radio as controllers tried to reach the airline and find a safe spot to put the plane. Audio recordings capture the chaotic convo as the cockpit conveyed growing urgency.
Who's the vehicle needed across the runway?
Truck 1 and Company, LaGuardia Tower.
Truck 1 and Company.
Truck 1 and Company, LaGuardia Tower, requesting to cross 4 at Delta.
Truck 1 and Company, cross 4 at Delta.
Truck 1 and Company, 4 at Delta.
Frontier 4195, just stop there, please. Stop, 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 truck 1, stop, stop, stop. Stop, truck 1, stop. Stop, truck 1, stop. Delta 2603, go around, runway heading 2000. Delta 646. Delta 646, a vehicle collided with vehicle is in full position. I know you can't move.
Sadly, the two pilots are confirmed deceased, and notifications are being made by Air Canada's care.
Holy shit, I didn't realize that they lost both pilots. That's huge. Pilots are like an incredibly scarce and valuable resource. That's insane.
Air team at this time. The vehicle was responding to another aircraft operated by United that had reported an issue with odor.
Jesus. Okay, but how'd they not see the big ass fire truck? You need air traffic controllers to manage stuff, man. It's like, okay, genuine question. Have you ever tried backing up a truck like an 18-wheeler? I have. It sucks. You gotta be so well trained. Imagine that, but like 50 times larger. You need people telling you where to go. Bro, why can't you just see what's around you? 'Cause I'm in a 10,000 ton coffin right now. I'm not viewing the plane from a third person angle. Also, the air traffic controller was doing solo ground and air control. Yeah. When the fuck did you back up an 18-wheeler? Because I could. Because I had one. Because there was one there. What do you want? I feel bad for the air traffic controller, because it's like probably not their fault. Shortage of 3,000 of them in the country right now. At a news conference Monday, Teleportation Secretary Sean Duffy, whose department oversees the FAA, declined to say how many controllers were on duty at LaGuardia Airport when the Canadian plane and the fire truck carrying Port Authority of New York and New Jersey police officers crossed paths. Did I say teleportation secretary? Well, that is a form of transportation. Transportation secretary. Sorry, it's the carbon dioxide. Don't worry about it. But he described the airport's tower as generally well-staffed. Generally? That's crazy. I won't tell you how many air traffic controllers there were present at the time. I'll say that, like, on average, there are enough of them. On average, there are at least some air traffic controllers. He's willing to confirm there was at least one there. We know for a fact there was at least one there. What's that quote? Or what's that saying? For most people, for most citizens of the Roman Empire, they only realized the empire had fallen when their local bridge collapsed and nobody showed up to fix it. That's kind of how I feel when I see stuff like this. No one will ever announce that the American empire has fallen. It won't be like the Soviet Union, where there's this big dramatic collapse. It'll just be one day you'll wake up and you'll look outside and you'll look at the cracks and the potholes in the road and the crumbling infrastructure, and you'll look at the crime and the graft and the vandalism, the overall poverty, and you'll think, wasn't it better than this at some point? Didn't this country used to have a future? I'll say this is pretty dramatic. I don't think it's dramatic at all. It's literally already happening. Most states or local municipal areas are already basically bankrupt. They don't make nearly enough money to even do basic infrastructural repair on the infrastructure that already exists. Our bridges are crumbling. It's kind of not a joke, or it's not really an exaggeration. It's just sort of what's already happening. This is a massive crash because we aren't even providing sufficient air traffic controllers. And the reason that's not happening is because the number of air traffic controllers was cut and artificially depressed as part of a broader government austerity strategy that's being used to funnel more taxpayer money into the coffers of the wealthy. This is it, man. This is the shit you wake up and see. You're like, oh, I guess, you know, for people asking why they didn't see the fire truck. Skill issue. I could do it. You shouldn't judge the prosperity of a country by its GDP or anything like that. A good litmus test is like, how much are they building and maintaining? How much are they doing? And how much are they promising to do? Like, if they can pull off big works, like maintaining infrastructure, building new infrastructure, and providing free healthcare or like pensions, that's like a big works project. That's a real thing in the real world. It's a sign of a functioning civilization. China, building out its infrastructure, both social and material, that's a sign of big infrastructure. America right now is not building anything. Nowhere in America is there a big works project. Nowhere in America is there massive, rapid expansion, you know? The most we get compared to that is like, I don't know, in the Austin area, a bunch of skyscrapers have popped up to take advantage of the tech boom there as people fled the relatively expensive, you know, San Franciscan tech boom, right? That's it. You know, it's like, yeah, we get data centers and we get ugly glass and steel skyscrapers that are occupied temporarily by workers and, you know, H-1B visa hires. And then within 5 years, they're all emptied because nobody drives to work anymore. The scam industry is booming. That is true. Hey, we're finally going to finish the D-Line expansion here in LA. You mean the one that goes to Westwood? Yeah, good luck. That's been 10 years coming, and how many more? Is there any Western country that has really well-funded municipalities? Europe is better on average than America is because less of their money goes to the top 1%. I would say probably Scandinavian countries. I don't know. The Netherlands. France has a very impressive, like, you know, pensioner pay. Probably too impressive, in my opinion. I would say Spain, relative to the amount of money that is in Spain, like even available for them to use, they do pretty well, you know? Whereas America does wretchedly poorly if you take, like, in relation to what we do and how much money we have. Spain does pretty good, but they don't have that much money, so imagine trying to build something like the Golden Gate Bridge in modern-day times. Well, you don't have to. Golden Gate Bridge net cost. When they built a suicide net around the Golden Gate Bridge for some fucking reason, it cost $400 million. Oh, hold on. They're saying $224 million. I guess they got, that was overestimated. $224 million to put nets up around a bridge. You know how many lives you could save by putting $224 million into, like, homelessness, housing development? Are you against a suicide net? Yes. They're really dumb. For one, they're macabre. For two, they'll just jump off something else. Who's saved by this? They would just jump off something else if they were going to kill themselves. Also, why not put the $224 million to something else? Why did it cost so much? Same reason everything costs so much in this country. Permits, legal rights, environmental review, and contractors fleece the government for every cent they can. On every level, there are grifters stepping in to make everything more expensive. Old lady with laptop. Yeah, old lady with laptop. You're contradicting yourself by inferring Spain is lower because they don't have a huge pool of banking and credit. No. Spain just doesn't have much money. I'm not saying that Spain is underfinancialized. I'm saying that Spain does not have much money moving around. So the fact that they're able to do so much with the amount they have is pretty impressive. If Spain kept up the proportional social and infrastructural spending that it does right now, but you made its economy the size of Germany's, Spain would be a utopia. A utopia. German elites artificially make us poor. Yep, for sure. The Golden Gate Bridge itself cost $35 million to build between 1933 and 1937. Or approximately $1.5 billion modern dollars. So it only took us about 1/6 the cost of the bridge itself to put up nets along the side. You want to see what they look like? $224 million. And it cost us about $1.5 billion in modern dollars to build the Golden Gate Bridge. How much does it cost to build bridges nowadays? Key bridge replacement costs soar as high as $5.2 billion, with completion expected by late 2030. I bet that'll get pushed back, and it's probably going to end up being more. $5.2 billion is just the estimate they put out now. How many projects finish at their estimated budget? The Francis Scott Key Bridge, height 350 feet, longest span 1,200 feet. No, the main span was 3,300 feet. Okay, 3,300 feet. Golden Gate Bridge size, 3,300. About 1.7 miles long. So it took us $1.5 billion to build one of the most famous bridges in the world, which is nearly 2 miles long. But today, it's costing us around $5 billion, and that's an early estimate, to build a 3,000-foot-long bridge. This is what I mean. One day you will wake up and the civilization you thought you lived in is no longer functioning. We can't even build infrastructure anymore. Why are we arguing about the suicide rates? We're talking about America's infrastructural decline. What stops people from just jumping off the fucking net? Nothing. I don't think you should build suicide netting around every piece of tall infrastructure. I think that's insane. If you want people to commit suicide less, put money into housing, drug crisis centers, whatever. There's a million ways you could have spent that money better. It was $228 million. They could have fucking built a revolutionary program in all of San Francisco that would have done incredible work. Instead, it got bled away and given to fucking fat contractors, lawyers. Stop arguing about the fucking suicide rates. We're talking about the money. A friend of mine worked at Deutsche Bahn, and she told me that the projects are given a specific public funding, but the contractors demand more, so it gets rejected, and the entire project starts again with the same result. Cool. What a functioning system. That's an unfair comparison because the Key Bridge also includes cost of removing everything, which is somehow more expensive than building the bridge itself. Okay, fine. Fine. If you really want to do this, fine. Let's think of another bridge. Key projects include the $5.4 billion Geordie Howe International Bridge. How about that? $5.4 billion Geordie Howe International Bridge. This connects U.S. to Canada. How long is it? Total length, about 8,000 feet. So about the same length as the Golden Gate Bridge. Cost? $6.4 billion Canadian dollars project. And it's a toll bridge. Material costs have risen faster than average inflation, plus safety standards have increased. And yet, there are other countries that build things faster than us. The United States, along with other mostly Anglo countries, Australia, Britain, Canada, have incredibly high construction costs, and all of these countries have massive housing crises. It's not good. Labor is the expensive part? Yeah, of course, but like contractors also deliberately take too long to drive up the... Remember, the Empire State Building was built in like, what, 18 months? The westbound versus eastbound Tacoma bridge highlights the cost difference. Okay, the westbound bridge, the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, westbound, 1950, cost $18 million to construct. Holy fuck, imagine being able to build something like this for $18 million. Even if you took that to US dollars today, like $100 million, maybe $120, $140, nothing. For this? Insane. All right, let's compare that to the eastbound bridge. Under budget at $786 million. It's not just inflation, dog. $18 million, $800 million. 18 in 1950 is worth $244 today. Ah, but what about to 2007? $100 in 1950 had the same purchasing power as around $900 in 2007. So multiply it by 9. So $18 million, multiply that by 9. Fucking, let's just say 170 million because I'm gay and I can't do math. 170, 160 million versus 800 million. Steel was much cheaper due to way more steel mills in the USA operating at the time pumping out steel. But that's part of the decline. Completely gutting our domestic production so we have no way of building anything anymore. That's part of it. The reason we shut down American steel plants and American manufacturing was because financiers thought they could make more money off of every unit by producing it overseas, which is true for them. The new Bay Bridge took 11 years to build and cost $6.5 billion. So we should be manufacturing domestically. I mean, to an extent, yeah, we should probably maintain a base of domestic production. But like the fact, all I'm doing is describing the conditions for imperial decline. If we can't build new infrastructure, build social projects, and we can't fucking maintain existing infrastructure, that's really, really, really bad. That's really, really, really bad. I don't see the entirety of the US ever building new cities in its lifetime. I guess we're almost at the point where the people old enough to remember are dead now, which is kind of sad, I think, really sad. But like, if you were born in 1930, over the course of your young life into mid-adulthood, you saw America fucking explode. the transnational highway system and just massive bridges and skyscrapers. The whole world erupted. And America today is much wealthier than it was back then. The trains, the electrification of the entire country on every level, everything was building up, up, up. It seemed like anything was possible. And we did. We had enormous wealth in this country. I don't know if you can hear them, but the cats are losing their mind. They're excited by that thought too. But now it's done. Like, we're done building things. We're done even renewing things. The dream of a new constructive world where we can like build our future, it's gone. We don't have it anymore. The money isn't there. Well, it is. It's just we'd have to go and get it. And unfortunately, the people who would have to make that decision to go and get it are also the ones who have the money. So, all right, she's got opinions about the death of the American empire. We do not have the same number of workers per capita that we did prior to the 1970s. Even if we had the building costs down and we were willing to eat it on labor expense, we don't have the skilled people to build these things. Yeah, of course, but like that was also a choice. We could have kept a permanently employed core of millions of people working engineering and construction all around the country. Think New Deal stuff, you know? There are always, 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 always jobs out there for people to build new things, to demolish old things, to repair cracks in the roads. We could have kept that going forever. It didn't, but instead we seeded all of it. It's all gone now. Like this is the world we produced. Doesn't have to be like this. That's how Canada kept its workforce for nuclear power plants alive. Once they filled domestic demand, they started sending the workers overseas to build reactors in other countries. That's smart. Maybe a dumb question, but would tariffs have helped to keep the manufacturing domestic? I don't think tariffs are a good way. I think that you could probably employ tariffs for a kind of, to mandate a strategic reserve of domestic manufacturing for core industries like steel production. But I don't think tariffs would have necessarily solved the issue. I think the real problem is that the logic of capital basically guarantees that capital owners are going to shop for the best deal no matter what. And the age of international commerce always made the poorer country the better deal. You know, low fuel prices and a relatively safe and stable international shipping economy meant that you could build stuff in a foreign country and ship it over here for less than it cost to build it domestically. And that basically just guaranteed, like, that was it, right? That was Pandora's box. The only thing that you could really do to fix that is the thing that I think should happen, which is have a federally employed domestic core of workers. I don't want a bunch of people running around working for shit ass construction companies. You know, every third American works for their like loser neighbor with a lifted pickup truck who's never worked a day in their life. They're for their dad's construction company. I want the government to employ these people. And there is always work. There's always work out there. There's always work. A grand public works project stretching across the entire country. We could keep it going forever. We have the money. We have the need. It's all there. Wouldn't that be more expensive than hiring private contractors? No. No, it would not. And you know what's really expensive? Letting the bridges collapse. Letting infrastructure fail. That's what's expensive. So the state is the employer of last resort? I'm a socialist, man. That's not my last resort. That's my first resort. The private market shouldn't be the default. The private market should be the luxuries and commodities economy that you defer to when you're done with the state mandating the necessities. Did you see Mamdani has filled 66,000 potholes as of March 20th? Yeah, he's been aura posting over it. Good for him. And good for New York. Holes filled. Instead of making the state the employer, couldn't we add more scrutiny to which contractors get the contracts? No, that's ridiculous. It's a grifter economy, and it always has been. Why ask the sharks to tend to the aquarium? Why not just get humans to do it? Like, why would you want that? The government is perfectly capable of building stuff, you know? Wasn't a large part of these projects being so much cheaper the fact that it was poverty wages for the workers with no worker protection / insurance? That's part of it. But why does nobody ever talk about the other side of cost saving? We've built new technology in the past 100 years. The whole point of technology is that we make it easier and more efficient to do stuff. The constructive technology that we have today is fucking miles ahead of what they had to build the Empire State Building with. We can do it faster, we can do it better, we can do it cheaper, we can do it safer. And yet, everything costs 50 times more. Like, I agree, labor costs have risen, even proportional to inflation, and we have OSHA and stuff now. That's great. Workers should get OSHA. But we also have incredibly efficient machines. So, you know, why isn't that playing into the equation, you know? Why isn't that having an effect on the outcome? How is it we keep getting more efficient, but things keep getting more expensive? We've made construction less expensive in theory. Why isn't it less expensive in practice? Look up the Dublin Children's Hospital cost scandal. It was originally supposed to cost 650 million euro and is set to cost 2.2 billion before completion. Oh, fun. I'm sure that's a whole thing on its own. Communist construction works in theory. Well, the Soviets were able to basically solve the housing crisis. The Soviets didn't have anywhere near as much money or technologically advanced equipment as us, but they were still able to build giant apartment blocks that house people for pretty cheap. One of the major issues for this is welders. Yeah, there aren't enough welders, but like, there should be. There also aren't enough limestone carvers, you know? There aren't enough wrought iron workers. The productive and industrial capabilities of this country have been deliberately hamstringed by an elite cabal of people who make more money from borrowing, lending, and investing that money than they do from actually buying or selling anything. The Soviets literally brought entire regions out of feudalism using those public housing projects. You will never be more of a tanky than you are when you read about how the Soviets would go to these backwards peasant villages all across what used to be, you know, the empire, and would basically just force them to accept atheism and reject their barbaric social practices, caste systems, tribal hierarchies, and just accept that they're all Soviet citizens, equal in the eyes of the law. You will never be more tanky than when you read about that. And did they do atrocities? Yes, they did. But I ask you, you know, if you had to civilize West Virginia, would a few eggs not be broken? Think about it. I'm sure if you broke a few eggs in West Virginia, you'd go to prison for one of those stupid heartbeat laws. Good bit. Good bit. This is a slippery slope that can slide into what Israel is doing in Gaza really, really quickly. It can't because Palestinians are people. I'm talking about West Virginia.